Now open your Bibles to the book of Psalms, verse 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess in heaven, in earth, under the earth, that he is Lord. He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. For this cause he died and was buried and rose again, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. And if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Lord is my shepherd. And this word Lord is not to be taken lightly. He said, you call me Lord with your lips. You say the word flippantly, carelessly, meaninglessly. But he said, you say well when you call me Lord, for so I am. But you call me Lord with your lips, and your hearts are far from me. He's Lord. The Lord. The Lord of lords and King of kings. He is Lord. God made him Lord. He's Lord by sovereign decree. He said, all power is given unto me. The Father made him Lord. I've heard preachers say, won't you make Jesus your Lord? You can't do it. God beat you to it. God's already made him Lord. He's every man's Lord. He's Lord by sovereign, divine, eternal decree. It pleased God to make him Lord. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and already given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. He is Lord. He is Lord. He's Lord not only by sovereign decree, but he's Lord by conquering death. He died that he might be Lord. He died that he might be Lord. This is why he died, that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. But he's my Lord not only by divine decree and sovereign decree and conquering death, but he's my Lord by crowning faith. I've received him as my Lord. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall. We'll join that everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. He's my Lord. The Heavenly Father made him my Lord. He died on the cross that he might be my Lord. And one day the Spirit of the living God came and revealed him to me, and I bowed to him, and I received him as my Lord. But his lordship, now get this, his lordship is based on his ownership. The Scripture says he has the keys of hell and death. They belong to him. They belong to him. He owns all things. Look right across the page at Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's. It's his. And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. His lordship is based on his ownership. The Father hath given all things to the Son. Not some things, not most things. All things. Isn't that what Scripture said? The earth is the Lord's. The Father hath given all things unto the Son. I like what that old black preacher said years ago. He didn't have to put his signature on the sunset. He's the owner. He didn't have to build a fence around the meadow. He's the owner. He didn't have to carve his initials on the mountain. He's the owner. He didn't have to put his brand on the cattle of 1,000 hills. He's the owner. He didn't have to take out a copyright on the song that the birds sing. He's the owner. He didn't have to sign a deed to the gold and silver in the earth. He's the owner. He didn't have to stake a claim on the universe. He's the owner. He doesn't need your permission to conquer your heart. He's the owner. He doesn't need a court order to open the grave. He's the owner. And he doesn't need a building permit to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's the owner. He's Lord. You believe that? O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me thus? Can I not do with my own what I will? He's the owner. The Lord. Look at Psalm 23 again. David said, the Lord. And he's not a figurehead either. He's the Lord. He's not a puppet king. He's the Lord. He didn't have his power delegated to him by the will of some creature. He is the Lord. The Lord. God made him Lord. He, by conquering death, bought this world. It belongs to him. He's the owner. I love that. He's the owner. His lordship is based on his ownership. He is the Lord. And David said, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my great shepherd. That's the only kind of shepherd he can be, is a great shepherd. But great sinners need a great Savior, don't they? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Great shepherd. He's not only the great shepherd, he's the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And Peter said in 1 Peter 5:4, he's the chief shepherd. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. This great shepherd, this good shepherd, this chief shepherd is my shepherd. Doesn't that make your heart beat a little faster? He's my shepherd. No ifs and ands and buts about it. No perhaps so, no maybe. The Lord, the Lord, is my shepherd. If he's not your shepherd, he's mine. I lay claim to it. I don't want any other shepherd. I say with the apostles, to whom shall we go? I want the chief shepherd. I want the great shepherd. I want the good shepherd. The Lord is, not shall be, he is my shepherd. Present tense. He is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have not wanted prior to this time. I do not want now. And I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. Not because of what I've done, but because of what he's done. Not because of what he's made of me, but because of what he has done. He's my shepherd. And because he's my shepherd, I shall not want. And that's the only reason, is because he's my shepherd. I may be the weakest of all the sheep, but I shall not want. Which of you, having 100 sheep, 99 in the fold, one out in the wilderness, doth not leave the 99 and go out and find the one that wandered away. I may be the weakest one of all, but I shall not want. I may be the dumbest, but I shall not want. I may be the wandering sheep, but I shall not want. I may be the black sheep, but I shall not want. I may not have all I wish, but I shall not want. I may grow old and feeble, but I shall not want. David said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've never seen his sheep begging bread. Never. I may walk the valley of death, but I shall not want. I may lie in the grave, but I shall not want. I may stand before the awful, majestic throne of the eternal God, but I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest, because he maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. What are these green pastures? You know what they are? The green pastures are the precious promises of this book right here. That's what they are. Upon what does a sheep feed? One of God's sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Preach the word. And he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. His word, the green pastures of his word. Always fresh. Always rich. Never exhausted. I don't have to look for food on the bare ground. I don't have to root among the roots. I don't have to push away the stones. I don't have to look around through the dust and the ashes. I just lie down in all these green pastures. And I cease from my works, and I cease from my labors, and I cease from my striving, and I cease from all these fleshly activities, and I just lie down. I lie down in these tall green grass of his precious promises, and I just eat and eat and eat. I find here all I need. He maketh me to lie down. And rest. I'm not in a hurry, because there's plenty here for me for eternity. Never exhausted. Always fresh, always precious, always rich, always satisfying. If I'm depressed, it's satisfying. If I'm concerned, if I'm convicted, if I'm troubled, if I'm sorrowful, this is all I need. I lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for rest, and I shall not want for peace. Look at that next line. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Providentially. Last night I was visiting with Brother Ronnie Lewis. We were talking about the ocean. Standing on the beach at night, and how fearful it is. Oh, the darkness just seems to settle down on that vast body of water, and it's so troublesome, and the waves are roaring, and you hear the surf, the deep swelling ocean, and it creates fear. As Ronnie said, it seems to be reaching out to get you and pull you in, and you want to back away. But these refreshing waters by which the Lord leads his sheep are not fearful, the still waters. He leads me by the still waters. I have peace. The soul of the wicked is like the troubled sea, churning, always trouble. But he leads me by still waters. By still waters. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the still waters. The water that quenches the thirst. The water that refreshes the soul. The Lord has quietened the swelling tide, and he has said, peace, be still. And he leads me by the still water. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for peace. And I shall not want for forgiveness, because he restoreth my soul. I was lost, but Jesus found me. Found the sheep that went astray. Threw his loving arms around me and drew me back into the way. The shepherd went out to search for his sheep, and all through the night on the rocky steep he searched. He searched till he found him, and with love bands he bound him, and I was that one lost sheep. I lost an awful lot back yonder in that garden. When Adam, my father, my representative, my federal head, stood before God Almighty, I stood in him. But when he violated God's law, and when he put his greedy hand on the throne of God and said, I will possess even that, I lost everything. I lost that image of God. I lost the fellowship of God. I lost the truth of God. I lost the way to God. I lost the life of God. I lost everything in Adam. My soul became a lost soul. In Adam, we became sinners, and judgment and condemnation and death passed upon all men. But that second Adam came. Bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That second Adam came. The first Adam was of the earth, earthy. The second Adam was the Lord from heaven. The Lord who is my shepherd. The Lord came from heaven, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and as my representative, as my federal head, as the surety of that everlasting covenant, he came down here and walked this earth, was born under the ceremonial law, born under the moral law, born under the judicial law, born under the law of the home, born under every law, and by his obedience, I'm made righteous. I kept the law. That's right. I kept the law perfectly, holy, without blame, in every jot and tittle. This sinner in Christ kept the law. And he imputed unto me by his perfect obedience a righteousness with which God himself is well pleased. And then he went to that cross. And there the Lord in his body took my sins and my judgment and my guilt and my sentence and my hell and paid my debt. And there all the wrath of a holy God was poured out on him, and he died. And the Lord was buried, but the Lord rose again. And he ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he is right now praying for me. He restored my soul. He restored my soul. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for peace. I shall not want for forgiveness. He restoreth. He put it back where it belongs. My soul. He didn't leave anything for me to do. He did it all. He didn't leave any payment for me to make. He did it all. He didn't leave the saving of it, nor the keeping of it, nor the perfecting of it to me. He did it all. And I shall not want for holiness. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Oh, I tell you, when I read that and I think about my nature, I don't even know, Charlie, where they are, let alone walk in them. I don't even know where they are. I think sometimes I know what righteousness is, and then again, I don't know. Righteousness. Oh, I know we've got our standards. That always makes me want to throw up when I see a church advertise a church with a standard. It is not my nature to find the paths of righteousness. It is not my nature to know the paths of righteousness. It's not my nature to walk in the paths of righteousness, but he leads me there. Without him, I don't have any righteousness. I'm walking in his footprints. I'm walking in him. I don't have any righteousness. You don't either. Your righteousness is a what? Filthy rags. God will spew them out of his mouth. Your standard is not worth the paper it's written on. Your constitution and your bylaws are not worth the time it'd take to burn them. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It's his path. He made it. He walked in it. And he leads me there. And without his constant presence and his supply of grace, I'd lose my way. I can't even continue in the paths of righteousness without him. His restraining, keeping grace. Don't you know that? He did it. Salvation's of the Lord. He maketh me to lie down. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. And it's not so folks will look at me and say how holy he is, but so folks will look at Christ and say how good he is. Not so that folks will look at me and say, oh, how he loves Jesus, but so that folks will look at me and say, oh, how Jesus loves him. Wonder why. Wonder why. That through the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. You've missed it unless you see that. God never set out to make you something for folks to brag on. He set out to make you a trophy of his grace. His grace. That's the only reason he saved you, for his name's sake. He saved them for his name's sake, and that's the only reason. Nothing good in you or about you I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want for companionship. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, so many people have confined this verse to the day of death, and they've missed a blessing. I see here the entire journey of life. This whole walk from cradle to grave is a valley of death. This whole walk, this whole journey, everything on this earth, in this earth, about this earth, has the touch of death. Death is written on every face. Death is written on every tree. Death is written on every blade of grass. Death. We're walking. Every word is meaningful. Listen, walking. We're walking. We're not hurrying. We're not running. We're walking. He that believeth shall not make haste. He's in no hurry. We wait on the Lord. Like to hurry and get through this mess, wouldn't you? But we're walking. We're walking. He that believeth shall not make haste. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen thine heart. Wait, wait, hold it. Don't be in a hurry. Just wait a minute. We're walking. And you just might have to walk for 90-some-odd years. Some of you may not walk very long, but some of you may walk a long time. But just don't be in a hurry. We're walking, and we're walking through. Now get this, we're walking through. This is not home. This is not the resting place. This is not our country. We're sojourners. We're dwelling in temporary tents, ready to fold them up any moment, ready to fold them up, take them down, and depart. We're walking through this valley of the shadow of death. Why is it called a shadow? Because death in its substance and power has been removed. It's just a shadow. He that believeth on the Son shall never die. And this death is but a shadow. Only a shadow remains. God has removed the sting. God has removed the substance. You're not afraid of a shadow of a dog. It can't bite. You're not afraid of a shadow of a gun. It cannot kill. And you don't need to be afraid of the shadow of death. It can't touch you. I'll fear no evil. He didn't say there will be no evil. He didn't say there is no evil. He says, I won't fear the evil. Oh, there'd be some bad times. There'd be some difficult times. There'll be some sorrowful times. There'll be some times of weeping. But joy cometh in the morning. I'll fear no evil. It's there. It's there. You can talk about positive thinking and all these other things. What we need is not so much positive thinking as spiritual thinking. Think on the Lord. Set your affections on things above. I'll fear no evil. I shall not want for companionship. And listen, I shall not want for comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You say, preacher, what's that rod and that staff? I wish I knew for sure. But some have called this the rod of correction and chastisement. That may be so. If so, they are a comfort, because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you be without chastisement, you're not sons. And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And this rod and this staff, if that's the rod of correction, so be it. If that's the rod of chastisement and trial and correction, all right. Thank God. Thank God he cares enough for me to correct me. Thank God I'm his son and he chastises me. I never will forget Walter Groover, the missionary to Mexico, telling me about adopting the little Mexican girl. And she was such a pitiful little thing when they got her covered with lice and undernourished and unloved. And they took her in the home and they just babied her and carried her around on a satin pillow and never would correct her or whip her. Or the other children, they had four or five other children, they whipped them. They corrected them and they scolded them. Not this little Mexican girl. She was the baby, you know. 7 or 8 years old, but still the baby. And she got to be real, real nasty. She got to be real hard to live with. One day Walter couldn't take it anymore, and he yanked her up and took her in the study and wore her out. And she came out just laughing. She said, "Now I know you love me. You whipped me." She thought she wasn't one of the bunch. Everybody else is getting a whipping. She wasn't. Everybody else getting a scolding. She wasn't. She figured that he didn't love her enough to correct her. Well, all right. Some have called this rod the numbering rod, under which the sheep pass, and they're numbered, and the Lord numbers his own. That's all right. That's good. That's a comfort. I'm one of his own. He numbered me. But others say, and I like this, the rod and staff are the symbols of his sovereignty and his gracious care. Thy rod and thy staff, thy sovereignty and thy gracious care. He rules over the flock. He directs the flock. He defends the flock. He provides for the flock. And this is my comfort. And this is my consolation. He's my Lord. The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. The Lord maketh poor and the Lord maketh rich. The Lord lifteth the beggar from the dunghill and seats him with the kings on the throne. The Lord. He's sovereign. And then I shall not want for daily bread. I like this. Thou preparest. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. A believer with enemies? The believer is not without enemies. He would not be like his Lord if he didn't have enemies. His enemies are the world, the flesh, his flesh, the devil, death, the last enemy, death shall be destroyed. We have enemies in us, around us, about us, over us, under us, enemies. But the Lord prepares a table with the enemy at the door. Nothing is hurried. There's no confusion. He prepares a table. And I sit down and I feast as if these enemies did not exist. He prepares for me a table. And he says, "Come and dine. Come, for all things are ready. Enjoy yourself. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." A Christian is the most miserable, happiest fellow in the world. That's right. A Christian is the poorest, richest fellow in the world. He's the emptiest and the fullest. I can't explain that. I just know in the midst of all this trouble and trial and tribulation and temptation and confusion and all of that, that my joy, my cup runneth over. I know that's hard to explain. That's what he says, though. Thou preparest the table before me right in the midst, in the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. Germs and diseases, loved ones, enmity, hatred, temptation, inward turmoil, all these things are about me, underneath me and over me, awaiting me. Oh, the desert we must cross, the mountains we must climb, the deep waters we must go through, the darkness we must go through, and yet my cup runneth over. I can't explain that. But I just know it's so. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. In the darkest of valleys, because he's my shepherd, and because he prepared for me a table, I have meat to eat, Christ said, that you don't know anything about. He sat down on that well, that hot, dry day. They'd been walking a long time, and he sent his disciples in to get something to eat. And they went in, he talked to that blessed sinner and saved her, and she left, and they came back, and they had the food already, and they said, eat, Master. And he said, I've already eaten. I have meat to eat, you know not of. They said, somebody bring him something to eat. Did one of you give him something? No. No, that's hard to explain. My cup runneth over. Joy. Even in death, joy. Even in disappointment, joy. Even in failure, joy. My cup runneth over. It's just so full, it's running over. I know what the world thinks. A little sorrow comes your way, you're supposed to crack up. I don't believe so. I know the world thinks if a little bit of sickness comes your way, you're supposed to be all shook up and disturbed and throw everything aside and forget God and everything. But I don't think so. I think in the midst of the darkest valley, your cup can run over if he's your shepherd. Because he prepares a table for you right there in the presence of your enemies. Right smack in the middle of them. Huh? That's right. When things are the darkest and the road is the roughest and the adversaries all about you, the Lord said, now hold on here. Hold on here, son. Now you sit down and eat. You sit down and eat. Don't you be disturbed. Everything's all right in my father's house. But Lord, they're right there at the door. Now you sit down and eat. I'm on the throne. Huh? I'm the Lord and I'm your shepherd. And they can't touch you without coming through me. They can't hurt you without laying a hand on me. Now you just sit down. Huh? My cup runneth over, and I shall not want for anything in this life. Surely, surely, surely as he's my shepherd, surely as he's the Lord, surely as he's the King, surely, surely, surely. Goodness and mercy. That's what I need, mercy. God's goodness. Lord, show me your glory, Moses said. I'll show you my glory, Moses. Show me your glory. I'll show you my glory, Moses. I'll make my goodness pass before you. I will be merciful. That's his goodness, his mercy. And his goodness and his mercy, I don't deserve it. Grace is God giving me what I don't deserve. And mercy is God not giving me what I do deserve. But his goodness and his mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. I won't be without them one day. Mercy and goodness. And I shall not want for anything in the life to come, because I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I got a reservation. bought and paid for. My Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I shall not want. The Lord, the Sovereign, how big is your God? That's how big your shepherd is. How mighty is your God? How sovereign is your God? That's how big your shepherd is. And since the Lord is my shepherd, mine, I shall not want for anything. Peace, rest, pardon, comfort, companionship, forgiveness, all these things I have in Christ. Nothing in this life nor in the life to come I shall not want. I want you to sing with me 292. A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam, and Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me. Now I'm on my way home. 292. Leave off that last chorus over there on page, the next page, and just sing 292. Let's stand while we sing.